relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Trish Regan.
And I'm very, very excited to be here. And you can't beat the Rocky music. Leave it to Seb. I love it. You know what else I love? I love seeing the unemployment rate come down to a level that no economist thought it could possibly get to until like next year, right? Below 7%. I love seeing GDP at 33.1%, which is a historic record. Annualized growth. We haven't done that before. I love what America is capable of with the right kinds of economic policies. If government can just get us out of the way, get themselves out of the way, and let us do what we know how to do, we're going to be just fine. But it's, you know, a question of whether or not they get out of the way. And I think there are a lot of concerns right now that if you have Biden and you have Kamala Harris and you have a leftist group there in the White House, they could send us into some treacherous territory. You know who knows all about that treacherous territory, who has made a career studying the economies of all the different administrations, is the incredible Steve Moore. Steve, I'm so glad to have you here today. Welcome.
Hey, Trish. So, thank you for the nice words. And I miss seeing you in person. Maybe when the COVID is over, with this vaccine works, we can get together in person. I haven't seen you in person probably in 9 months.
I know. I miss seeing you, too. But you know what? I read you every day. The Committee to Unleash Prosperity, which is Steve is part of, just has the most interesting economic news out there. And you can get the email
Thank
if you.
You
go to his website and you sign up for it. So I encourage people to do that. You talk all about the importance of really, I think, getting that government out of the way so people can do what they know how to do. And you've seen it historically. You know how it's happened. So talk to me about where we are right now in this economic cycle.
Well, Trish, I'm frustrated and heartbroken because I truly believe, I honestly believe this to be 90% true, that if the election were today and not a week ago, I don't think there's any question Donald Trump would have won the election uncontested. You know, we've had two amazing data points that have come out in the last week. One was that Friday unemployment report, which was just a blockbuster with 900,000, almost a million private sector jobs in 1 month, Trish. That's amazing, given that we've faced this pandemic. And then, of course, you know, on Monday, we get the news about this vaccine, which was Operation Warp Speed, right? I mean, Trump basically, you know, he allowed the private sector to go out and nurture this. And you know, if this vaccine works as advertised, you know, we're going to have a blockbuster 2021. And I'm just frustrated because, you know, if you got a pitcher who's throwing a no-hitter, you don't come to the mound and take him off the mound. And that's, I think, what...
Yeah, no, listen, but, you know, it's not over till it's over, as I keep
it's
saying.
It's not over. I'm not,
right?
No,
I mean, Decision Desk
over.
HQ just called North Carolina for Trump.
Yay!
That would be 15.
And,
yeah, that would be 15
Georgia,
electoral
Georgia,
votes. And yeah, Georgia's going to be a recount.
So close. And we have got a shot in Arizona. So it comes down to Pennsylvania, folks. And you know, there was a lot of hanky-panky in Pennsylvania. But look, this economy, I call it, Trish, not a V-shaped recovery. I call it the V-shaped recovery. I mean, the super V-shaped recovery.
The super V.
Because nobody, not you, not me, not CBO, not the Federal Reserve Board, not all of the, you know, smarty pants, you know, economists on Wall Street, nobody thought we'd have the unemployment rate down to 7% in 6 months. I mean, most of the forecasters thought we'd be at 13, 14, 15%. We've created something like 12 million jobs in 6 months. That's spectacular.
No, it's incredible. Now, what they would say, oh, well, you know, well, it was the pandemic, right? And so you were coming out of the pandemic. But I would just compare and contrast that with the Obama-Biden years, because that was a massive recession. This was a massive pandemic. I think actually there are some similarities. And I think it's proof that if you have the right policies in there and you're not in the way of things, then you actually can have a much more speedy recovery.
Couldn't agree more. And so what we've been saying, which happens to be true, is that it took, you know, Donald Trump to get the unemployment rate down to 7%. It took him about 5 months to do that. It took 5 years for Obama and Biden to get the unemployment rate down to below 7%. So, you know, this is the difference between having a career businessman and someone who's been incredibly successful in hiring people and running businesses and building things, and a career politician like Barack Obama or Joe Biden, who know nothing about job creation. And, you know, I'm kind of heartbroken if these results hold up, and I'm with you. I still think Trump has a chance to win. But why would we want to put somebody who knows nothing about creating jobs in the driver's seat right now? So, but look,
you know, I spoke with your good friend Art Laffer, another brilliant guy. And Art, he was a little more optimistic, of course, this was before the election, and he was hopeful that this administration would make the right choices. Maybe that's just, you know, the power of positive thinking. He's trying to enact that.
Forgive me.
We still don't know. We still don't. Incoming. And I don't. And anybody listening to this right now, I want to emphasize that we still don't know. And as I said, he picked up North Carolina, and this very, very well could happen. I mean, I hate that the media is sort of thinking this is fait accompli, because I don't think it is. But Art's point was, if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were to win the Oval Office, he didn't necessarily discount them entirely when it came to free market economic policy. I don't know, though. I think I do. I think I really worry that Kamala Harris is just of a different mindset. And I think Joe Biden is a political animal that will need to do what he needs to do to court the extremists in the party, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes of the world. I mean, they have a choice. They can kind of force them out, or they can embrace them. And I worry they're going to embrace them.
So, you know, my challenge to my Democratic liberal friends is, and I have a lot of them, is show me one thing, just one thing, that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris ran on in their platform that is good for the economy. One thing. I can't, not exaggerating, Trish, I've read the whole 92-page report. Everything was anti-business, more government spending, more government regulation, more taxes. That is not a formula for prosperity. You and I know that. You've covered the markets for, you know, 25 years.
Not quite 25, but it's up there.
Yeah. So my point is that, you know, can you think of anything, Trish, that Biden ran on that's good for the economy?
No. No, I honestly can't. But if you talk to them, they might say, oh, well, he's talking about equality, right? They want to ensure equality of outcome. They don't want to ensure a meritocracy that gives everybody sort of the right, you know, path on which to start. They want to ensure that everybody has an equal outcome. I mean, Kamala Harris has talked about this repeatedly, right? So they would argue, oh, well, we're going to ensure equal outcome so everybody has enough. I mean, to me, that's just, frankly, socialism.
Well, even if that is if you're, there's many ways, Trish, as an economist, you can measure how well an economy is doing. You can look at the GDP, right? You can look at employment and unemployment. You can look at, median family income. You can look at all these different measures. And one of the measures, which is, you know, I guess a measure that the left would like, because they do want to see more equality, is how is the economy doing for the people who are least among us? Okay, I'll accept that definition. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Under Donald Trump, the poverty rate in the United States, that is the percentage of people who are poor, fell to its lowest level in the history of the United States for not just whites, but for blacks, for Hispanics, for Asians, for women. So in other words, you know, even if that's your definition of trying to have more opportunity and equality, Trump created that. He did more for this is the one thing that just you could tell the frustration in my voice. There is no one. There's no one who did more for black Americans and Hispanic Americans in the last than Donald Trump. The lowest unemployment rate and the lowest poverty rate in history for those groups.
But see, that's critical. It's so important. And I think it's so necessary for the Republican Party and for conservatives to build upon that, because the truth is, if you want real equality or real meritocracy in this world, you have to ensure that everybody has, you know, a fighting chance early on. But what do we have going on? For goodness sakes, they shut down the schools in the inner cities of D.C. and Chicago and L.A. I mean, these poor kids, they don't have any other choice, you know, because we're somehow against school vouchers that would have, by the way, enabled them to at least still get an education, yep. Steve.
So, you know, it's interesting you bring up school vouchers, because one of the things that, you know, if Donald Trump gets this second term, and to a degree he's got an opportunity to get that second term, I think his highest priority will be school choice for every single child in America. Give every child, school-age child, their family, a $12,000 voucher. Let them go to a good school. Why do only rich people get to go to a good school? Let's let every American have an opportunity. And by the way, the liberals are against that. I don't know why, but they're against it.
No, I'm telling you, policy matters. And listen, we'll see what happens. It ain't over until it's over, right? And I look forward to seeing you, sir, at some point in person. The wonderful Stephen Moore. You can follow him on Twitter and definitely check out his site, because he's got the Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and it is fantastic. Thanks so much, Steve. I'm going to be back with much more after this.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
And I'm so happy to be here in for Seb today on a day when they just called North Carolina out of Decision Desk HQ for Donald Trump. It looks like the Senate now is officially going to the Republicans there in North Carolina. The Democrat has conceded that race. And so, as I've been saying, it's not over until it's over. Although, don't tell that to Joe Biden, who just had his victory speech and is now tweeting about how he wants some kind of national mask mandate. I mean, he can't actually do that, right? Because it's not constitutional. You know, he was out campaigning for that. Remember at the DNC, making such a big deal about the darn masks? And then somebody must have gotten a hold of him. It's really amazing that with all those speechwriters, nobody kind of looked over the speech enough earlier on to clue into the fact, or tell Kamala Harris, who also was touting this, that you can't do that constitutionally. Anyway, you know, one of his first tweets here is, you know, he's going to push for the darn masks. I don't have a problem with the masks, but I do have a problem with the government telling me I have to wear one. Okay? Because thank you very much. It is my decision. And I do believe that Americans are smart enough people to know if they need a mask. And businesses are smart enough to know if they need to require people to wear masks. But we don't need to be treated like we're 5 years old and have the national federal government trying to tell us that we all have to wear masks. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, it may get down to the state level, make it to the local level, and at least that's a little bit more authentic and more in keeping with who we are as a country. But you can't have the president with some kind of national mask mandate. He literally said, there was a reporter out of Pennsylvania over the summer that said, would you put in an executive order for masks? And he said, yes, he would do an executive order. Again, he had to walk this back, right? He had to walk it back, and he sort of said, well, the media is kind of putting words in my mouth, whatever. I don't think I can constitutionally do that. I'm glad he figured that out. I mean, the guy did go to law school. He didn't do that well in law school. Not well at all, actually. I believe he graduated like nearly last in his class. Anyway, again, it's not constitutional. You can't do that. And I'm truly troubled by these politicians that want to issue edicts. They think that they are in charge of every single one of us. They want to tell you whether or not you can leave your house. They want to tell you how much money you're allowed to earn. They want to tell you when you can open your business and when you have to shut it. And I don't think that's really in the spirit, shall we say, of America. Don't underestimate the American spirit. There's a reason why 71 million people came out and voted for Donald Trump in this election cycle. It's because Americans, we know what works. We know what's working. And you can try and fool us, right, with a lot of this mirage of, oh, it's all good versus bad, good versus evil, the devil ears, remember, on the cover of Time. Just look at the cover of Time now, Time magazine. Oh, my goodness, it's just a joyous occasion, and you've got Kamala making history, and Joe Biden, finally, after 47 years, managing to become the president of the United States, and they have the two of them on the cover, and it's all hunky-dory and very, very happy. And then you compare and contrast that with the cover that they gave Donald Trump when he was elected president, right? And by the way, we don't know that Joe Biden's going to be president. I want to emphasize that yet again because it's not over till it's over. But anyway, the cover that they gave Donald Trump with the devil ears, I mean, my goodness, he has had to fight so much in the way of the mainstream media. And if he has sharp elbows and says things and gets a little annoyed sometimes, I kind of get it. I kind of get it because think about what you're up against. And what I love about the last 4 years is that he has exposed the media for all the bias it has. And I've seen it. I've seen it over and over and over again. It's a leftist bias. I've worked in different newsrooms. I remember being so shocked. Early in my career, I was working out in San Francisco in a newsroom there. And, it's San Francisco, so go figure, right? Anyway, Enron had just gone bankrupt. And I remember thinking, oh, this is awful. This is awful for the American economy. It's awful for these workers. They're going to lose their jobs. They're going to lose their 401ks, right? Because they had all invested in Enron stock. And what did I see? I saw a newsroom that literally cheered. There were reporters and producers that were cheering and clapping their hands as Enron went bankrupt. Because you see, they hate big business. There's just this attitude of us versus them in the media, and it's very much rooted in leftist culture, and I think that that's not good. But you know what? America sees through it. 71 million people saw through it, and they're like, we don't care. We don't care how, you know, unpresidential at times Donald Trump can or wants to be. This is a guy who's actually moving the needle forward for the country and for our families. And I think that's what ultimately mattered to them. Apparently, if you listen to the mainstream media, not quite enough. But, you know, we'll see. North Carolina coming in, that's 15 electoral votes that he's projected to get. He currently had 214, which puts him at 229. If you add in Alaska, you're up at, what, 232? If Arizona flips, he would get another 11. Wisconsin, they're talking about possibly a recount there. They are doing a recount in Georgia. That's 16 electoral votes. And then Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is the biggie. And there's a lot of questions right now about Pennsylvania. I spoke earlier, not on this program, but on my podcast, with Sean Parnell. And Sean is running against Connor Lamb there in the 17th district in Pennsylvania. And his point to me was, Trish, how can I concede? Because we're getting all these reports of, you know, everything from dead voters, he pointed out, to ballots that had not been signed, had not been dated, suddenly being collected after the fact. He said, I really can't in good conscience go ahead and concede. And it's not about me. It's not about Republicans. It's actually about the sanctity of the American vote. And I understand that. And I get that. And I think Pennsylvania, as a result, is still in play. And there's a lot of questions. I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised to see this go all the way to the Supreme Court. You may not just need a recount in Pennsylvania. You may need a revote. Because when you think of the fact that they were collecting ballots that they had already agreed, by the way, you know, they had already said needed to be signed, needed to be dated, needed to be authenticated, and they're collecting those and they're disregarding those rules that they had, well, you got a problem. You got a real problem. And so I think Americans will demand answers to this. And the sad thing about it all is I fear because this is so close and you have such a divided country, people really aren't going to trust the system. And I get it. I don't think they should. I mean, for 4 years we sat there and we listened to how the mainstream media believed, like fundamentally believed, and their sources in the deep state told them that Donald Trump was a product of Russian influence. And it was the Russians that conspired with Donald Trump, like willingly. They sat in a room together and said, how are we going to take and steal this election from Hillary Clinton? And that was the upshot. And so we got the darn Mueller report, which, by the way, 30 some odd million dollars of taxpayer money. And 2.5 years later, 2.5 years, right, out of this administration's time and out of our lives, we found out, yeah, there was no Russian collusion. There was no Russian collusion, yet they got FISA warrants, etc., on the Trump campaign. I mean, this is really bad stuff. Anyway, like we said, not over till it's over. I'm Trish Regan. I'm here with you. Charlie Kirk is coming up next, so don't go anywhere. We're going to talk to Charlie. Go to TrishIntel.com. We have the very latest on the Senate race out of North Carolina.
FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T. The number 2, T.org, T2T.org. Thank you.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Hello, everyone. This is Trish Regan. I am in for my good friend Seb today. 1-833-33-GORKA. That's 1-833-33-4-6-7-5-2. 1-833-33-GORKA. So give us a ring. I know the calls are lit up. We've got Christy in Tennessee who's getting a little concerned that the more that the media talks about Biden as president, the harder it is going to be to get overturned. And Christy, I think you make a really good point. I think we've got Christy on the line right now.
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome. So what's your thought on this?
Well, I think you guys are missing the bigger point. In 2000, the biggest mistake that Al Gore made was he didn't defend as the president-elect. So the more the media keeps going on and on and on that Biden is the president-elect, the harder it's going to be for the Supreme Court to overturn it. And Trump needs to listen to Mr. Gorka and do these rallies. That is how Antifa and Black Lives Matter got so big, because they were out there. Their voices were heard, even though I disagree with them still.
So you know, look, I don't think this is a president that's backing down in any way, shape or form. I think I can pretty much assure you of that. He is a fighter and he's got fighting people on his team, and he's not one to have the mainstream media tell him anything for that matter. So, Christy, if it's any consolation, I have a feeling you will see him at some of these rallies, and I think you will see him out there front and center. One thing I do want to mention, it's really important. The idea that, you know, All the people on the left kept saying the conservatives were going to come out with their guns and they were going to, you know, cause riots and looting. And by the way, you didn't see any of that, did you? No, none of that. You know why? A lot of conservatives believe in law and order, and they want to do this the right way, the proper way, which is why you're seeing lawsuits filed in Pennsylvania. We have Ken joining us today on line four from Arizona, talking about what the Republicans are doing right now in the Senate elections in Georgia. Important. You want a recount there in Georgia, Ken?
No, I want to see what plans they are making based on what happened this time as far as money, personnel, and plans how to deal with this fiasco, this cheating that we've dealing, and how to better not let it happen in Georgia, because we need those Senate seats.
We need those Senate seats. I mean, I'm really glad that the North Carolina Senate seat was picked up, but I agree with you. We need the Senate seats, and it's really, really critical to have the Senate. It's critical to have the White House, too, but it's really important to get the Senate, because those are the, you know, the guys and gals in the room that would be able to decide quite a bit in the future of our economy. So, Ken, I agree with you. It looks like we are getting a recount there, though. We might get a recount in Wisconsin. You know, the way this works is that the canvassing of all the counties has to be done between now and November 17th. November 17th, after that, there's a deadline of 5 o'clock the next day for the Republican Party, the GOP, to file for a recount. And so in this case, I guess the GOP would have to pay for it. I think they'd be willing to pay for it. I think it's important, right, to ensure that we have a safe system. In Arizona, it's possible they could still flip that one. That would be 11 electoral votes. So look, it's not over until it's over. And I think that's really important. And I like what Greg Kelly was telling us earlier about not calling the election, right? It's important as a journalist not to be out there calling the election. It's important that these news organizations, which are in many cases controlled by wealthy individuals, that they not be out there calling the elections, but that you actually have a concession, right? Like what we just saw there in North Carolina. And I have no doubt that this president, if he has to concede, will do so gracefully. But I will also tell you this. He's not going anywhere. He can just move in right down the street, right there on Pennsylvania Avenue to the Trump Hotel. And divide his time between there and Mar-a-Lago. And I think you're going to hear a lot from him. I would not be surprised one single bit to have him continue to dominate the news cycle, because he's that kind of guy and he's that kind of presence and his ideas have mattered that much. So Joe Biden may, you know, we'll see, wind up in the White House. But I'll tell you, he's going to be right down the street on Pennsylvania Avenue still talking in a way that's very motivating to the American people, and that will be Donald Trump. So here's the deal. He's not going anywhere, so to speak. He will still be, in many people's hearts, I think, their president, regardless of what happens. Anyway, we've got a lot more coming up. Charlie Kirk joining me here on America First today. I am Trish Regan, host of The Trish Regan Show. Get the podcast on Apple, on Spotify, on Amazon, and I'll see you back here next with Charlie.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Oh, thank you, Seb. I'm so happy to be here. And, you know, I got to say, I thought Seb Gorka was the hardest working man in showbiz. But it may actually be Charlie Kirk, because Charlie, I just found out, not only does he have this wonderful Salem radio show that's broadcast nationally from 12 to 2 every day, but he's got two podcasts a day, and he's on YouTube Live every night. He's about to start that in a couple hours from now with the Charlie Kirk Show, and he is all over it. My gosh, I read your tweets. I love them, Charlie. So insightful, so thoughtful, and you're fired up. You're pretty upset. You say it was stolen, he was robbed.
Oh, I mean, I'm unafraid to say that. I mean, look, what we have to just do is we need answers to our questions. I mean, how is it that Benford's law, which is the law of large numbers, was violated in both the voting distribution in Milwaukee and Allegheny County. It's a 1 in 1 billion chance that this mathematical law is violated. How is it that we don't have an answer on Dominion voting systems in Michigan, where 6,000 votes suddenly change from one party to the other, verified by the county recorder? Even Congresswoman Debbie Dingell has come out and is calling into irregularity investigations in Wayne County, Michigan. How is it that there was a red wave all across the country with today? Now we know Tom Tillis officially has won in North Carolina. Michelle Steele has officially flipped a Democrat race in California. Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans are on pace to win 10 seats. They were told that they were going to lose 15. That is a 25-seat swing from the projections. We win Florida by 3 points. We crush the opposition metaphorically in Iowa and Ohio. And yet just in 4 cities, counting was discontinued, observers not allowed in, ballots being suspiciously missing, signatures not verified. Sworn affidavits of an individual in Detroit said that thousands of ballots were delivered on November 4th, all of which had the same birthday, January 1st, 1900. So look, Trish, I'm just asking questions. I think anyone that has a, you know, a logical way of viewing data can see that there's something highly irregular here. And we need to also just dismiss this media lie that voter fraud does not happen. There have been over 1,106 cases of indicted voter fraud in our country in just the last decade. And you only find what you look for. You know, most people would never find money laundering if you don't look for it. It hides itself pretty well in a decent society. But as soon as you open investigations and you start to follow leads, you'll start to find it. And it's a long past time that we look into this. And I am just so outraged at how the president has been treated here. It is an insult to our country and an insult to our republic.
Well, good for you for speaking out. And you know what? You are positively right. Charlie Kirk saying that, you know, this whole idea that voter fraud doesn't happen. And that's, by the way, perpetuated. Let me figure out what cut this is. We have a cut sheet here. And I know that Brian Stelter was on talking about this and basically saying that Fox, right, should just get its anchors in line. Guys, do we have that? Get its anchors in line. Cut three it is. And somehow, you know, tell everyone what's what. Here we go.
There's no one at Fox News that is saying this is crazy, this is irresponsible, this is dangerous. The Murdochs are letting this run rampant all over Fox News. And there are moments where, you know, once every 24 hours, there will be some pushback on the lies about voter fraud. But that is not the story. The story is all of these propaganda shows telling the audience that there might have been mass voter fraud and that President-elect Biden is not the legitimate president-elect and that you shouldn't believe what you're hearing.
Yeah, to your point, though, Charlie, I mean, voter fraud happens. It's not like you can put your head in the sand and pretend it doesn't just because your guy won.
Yeah, of course it does. And it happens in a variety of different ways. The New York Times in a 2012 article said that very clearly there is something called granny farming, where you go to elderly and nursing home areas and you intercept ballots both to and from and you pressure certain people in the dementia unit to vote the way that you wish. Why was there a 1,774% increase in voter registration for people that are 90 plus years old in the midst of a pandemic in a battleground state, Pennsylvania, where that trend was not found even close in any other state across the country? When you send 1.8 million ballots out in Pennsylvania, all of a sudden are you going to expect everyone to not commit, you know, crimes? We have criminal investigative units in every other vertical of decent society for good reason. Yet the one thing we're not allowed to ask questions about is how we actually elect our leaders. We know the 1960 presidential election was stolen from Richard Nixon. It's well documented by historians. We know that voter fraud has been baked into Chicago mob politics, Milwaukee politics, Philadelphia politics, and Detroit politics. It's an outrage, though, that this sort of behavior and these schemes have now interfered with a U.S. presidential election. And there's a lot of questions that have yet to be answered, such as how did President Donald Trump do 5 points better in Chicago? How did President versus 2016? President Donald Trump did 5 points better in San Francisco. He did the same in LA and Boston and 1 point better in DC, but somehow he did 5 points worse in Milwaukee.
So this is the deep state, you think, or this is just them? I mean, combination, sort of deep state maybe backing up this, you know, perception that you're just supposed to accept whatever the mainstream media wants you to accept.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's not too far to say that there was a multi-institutional effort to defeat Donald Trump. You saw big tech alongside the Wall Street bankers, alongside Hollywood actors, professional athletes, government bureaucrats, former intelligent military officials that all wanted President Trump to be destroyed and to be taken out of office. And by the way, we're not talking about a multi-thousand person effort here. All it takes is 30 or 40 hardened criminals in each one of these cities that are properly incentivized to go find ballots, fill them in, and then launder those ballots. That's a term that we came up with, ballot laundering, through these drop boxes that are all across these cities. And we'll never actually know what happened until we investigate it. But the media doesn't want that. They want an uninterrupted coronation of former Vice President Joe Biden. And you're going to have 70 million people that do not trust him to be a president or in leadership. And that is a very dangerous thing for a country.
Really crazy, crazy stuff. At Charlie Kirk 11 is his Twitter handle. You hear him every day on the Salem Radio Network from 12 to 3. And he's got a podcast and he's on YouTube. And by the way, people are finding you in massive ways, are they not, Charlie? I was just talking to Greg Kelly from Newsmax about this. I think, you know, people are seeking out truth.
Yeah, we've been really blessed. I'll say it super quick because I know the segment's ending, but we were number one in all of podcasting on Apple News.
Wow.
And number two overall. So praise God.
Congratulations at Charlie Kirk 11. Thank you so much, Charlie, founder and president of TPUSA at TPUSA. Okay, we got a lot more coming up here. I'm Trish Regan in for Seb.
America First. Magnificent.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. And you know what I want you to remember? Not to give up right now, because there's a lot that still needs to be done. And I know how frustrating it is. I mean, I can hear the frustration in some of the callers' voices. I see the frustration on Twitter. You can hear it in Charlie Kirk's voice as well, whom we were just talking to. But here's the reality. There's a lot that still has to happen. And I think it can happen. Basically, you're looking at a deadline perhaps of mid-December, right? That's when the electorals, you know, folks officially, you know, call this. And so between now and then, the Trump party, and look, he's a fighter and he's got plenty of fighters alongside him. They need to get to the bottom of this. We need to figure out exactly what has happened, not just for now, not just for this president, but for the future of this country, right? You need to be able to trust your system of voting, for goodness sakes. And there's all kinds of discrepancies and all kinds of issues in Pennsylvania. That has to be addressed. It has to be addressed. North Carolina, it looks like it's going his way. Alaska looks like it's going his way. Arizona could flip. We'll see. Pennsylvania, though, so important. 20 electoral votes at stake. Georgia's going to a recount. Wisconsin could very well go to a recount as well. But I think Charlie made some really, really good points. I mean, you have to think about the odds here, right? I mean, what are the odds that just every single vote that is, you know, caught in some kind of glitch with Dominion voting machines, why does it all go to Biden, right? Like, I mean, what are the odds of that? Statistically speaking, the probabilities, I mean, you'd think that some of the votes, some of them, might go to Donald Trump. I mean, how is it that the numbers are, you know, it's 1,000% higher, the number of people that are age 90 plus that are sending in their votes from nursing homes? I guess it was some really serious organization on the part of the Democrat Party. But also, why is it that, you know, they've got ballots where they can't authenticate them? They don't have signatures or they don't have postmarks. I mean, this is not right. And I get it, right? You know, you're dealing with a pandemic, so not everybody could go to the polls. But maybe there's a reason why you are supposed to have people go to the polls and you're supposed to do everything you can to ensure the safety of every single voter. Wipe down every single booth. You know, do what you have to do. Hire extra workers. Put heating tents outside. But this whole mail-in voting thing, like, this is a disaster. It's really a disaster, and it's close. I'm all over this for you, and I'm going to continue staying all over it. Please go and download my podcast right now. Trish Intel. It's the Trish Regan Show, where we have all the intel on everything that's happening right now. You can get it on Apple iTunes. You can get it on Spotify. You can get it on Amazon, you name it. And, of course, on my website, trishintel.com. We're covering the Senate race out of North Carolina. It is going to the Republicans. And Seb is going to be right back here with you tomorrow. Trish Regan signing off. Have a terrific night, everyone. America First.